Today's reading is in the book of Mark, chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Mark, chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him, for he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." I went a couple of verses there farther than I intended to, but that's okay. But let's think about what we have in today's reading. By this point, you should be fairly familiar with the fact that Jesus makes this statement of, don't go out and tell people, you know, whether it was somebody they healed or whether he was talking about, you know, those that he encountered, that he cast demons out. He's already drawing very large crowds, larger than I think that there's much more that could be done. In other words, there's only so many that Jesus can speak to at a time. There's only so many that can be healed within a day. I mean, I realize that Jesus had the power to blanket heal them, you know, if that's a term. But that's not the way that he chose to work. He chose to interact with each of those people that were looking for healing. So on the surface level, it seems strange for him to say, don't go tell people. But the fact is, he wants to work through these cities and work through these crowds. And it may also be that if his popularity rises too far or too fast, then that would hasten the day in which the rulers of the Jews decide they have to do something about it, which would then hasten the crucifixion. Now, another thought, if you take verse 12, he strictly ordered them, if you take them to mean the unclean spirits, then you have to realize Jesus doesn't necessarily want the witness testimony of a demon. I mean, they're already making accusations that he does things by the power of Satan, so that's not the type of witness he wants, even though it is the truth. In fact, if you look down in verse 22 of Mark chapter 3, you see that very thing. He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons. If you go back to chapter 1, when Jesus heals the leper and he tells him not to tell anyone, well, the man tells him anyway, and so many crowds gather so that Jesus, as it states in verse 45, could no longer openly enter a town. So even though we think, hey, popularity is great, drawing a bigger crowd is great, well, we're talking about crowds that would limit what Jesus can do, where he can go. So for us today, we think the bigger the crowd, the better. But we're thinking about fairly limited crowds, even in that frame of mind. I think we're talking about situations in which an entire city might come out. And that's not something we're familiar with today. We already read about the paralytic, that they had to go up on the roof and they had to lower him down through the roof just to get him to Jesus. There was even Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus had to climb a tree just to see Jesus. And I realize we sing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and we think of him as so short he needed the tree. But it's not just stature, it's a matter of the crowd being that large as well. So Jesus is managing the size of all of this to a point so that he can continue to do what he plans to do. If you go over to Matthew chapter 12, and you look starting in verse 16, we see another reference to this silence that he's asking for them to not tell. Verse 15 says, many followed him and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. So Matthew indicates that this is also a fulfillment of prophecy, focusing in on that he would not quarrel or cry aloud, or anyone would hear his voice in the streets. Jesus is not trying to just draw a crowd. I mean, entertainers try to just draw a crowd. But a person with a message has a goal in mind, and that's Jesus. Jesus had a goal in mind, and he wanted to approach it in a way in which that goal was promoted. He wanted to encourage faith. He wanted to interact with people in a way that would promote that faith rather than just have a crowd there to be entertained. Now, once he's resurrected, once his apostles begin proclaiming the message of eternal life through the gospel of Jesus Christ, then at that point, it's as big a crowd as we can draw. Get the message to as many people as possible. But Jesus is trying to interact on a more personal, more one-on-one type of level, despite the fact that we do see him do something like, you know, feeding the thousands and doing the Sermon on the Mount. Now, at the same time, a lot of times when we see him say, you know, don't go and tell everybody, well, they do it anyway, like the leper that I mentioned. And that's because they've received something so incredible that, well, they don't want to be quiet about it. I mean, what would you do if you were suddenly healed of a serious disease? Let's just take leprosy. If you've been separated from everybody, you can't be at home with your family, you can't hold down a job, you have to be dependent on strangers and their kindness just to be able to get by. And then suddenly you're healed and you get to go to the priest and show yourself and be cleansed and then you can go home to your family. Everybody's going to see you. Everybody's going to know you haven't been around. And you're going to tell them, hey, I'm cleansed. I've been healed. Jesus did this. So we understand the idea of not being able to contain it. So, that you know, in our minds, that's a conflict, but maybe it would have been promoted more? I don't know. You know, I think the goals of Jesus were fulfilled despite the fact that they didn't listen the way that he told them. So I think something for us to think about and to pray about today is for us to not hold back the good news. I mean, you've been cured of something. That is, if you're a child of God, you've been obedient to him. You've been cured of something a lot worse than leprosy. A lot worse than a deadly disease. You've been cured of sin. Sin only brings death. There's no other end for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. That's what the good news of Jesus Christ is. That's Romans 6:23, by the way. So if you know that you've been given this incredible gift, you have to praise God. You have to tell others about it. You can't contain it. Sometimes I think that we try to be more like the man that Jesus tells, don't go and tell anybody, instead of being the person that's received such an incredible gift that we just can't contain it. We need to be shouting these things from the rooftop. We need to be the light that shines out to everyone. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with all of us.